You're listening to the Witness History Podcast on the BBC World Service. It's 30 years since the Oslo Accords were signed. This agreement in 1993 aimed to bring about peace between the Israelis and Palestinians. This week, we're bringing you stories from Israeli and Palestinian history. Today, we're going back to the 10th of May 2002, when one of the most dramatic sieges of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem finally came to an end after 6 weeks. In 2015, Louise Hidalgo spoke to two people who were there.
For 38 days, a group of Palestinian gunmen, civilians and nuns and monks have been holed up inside one of Christianity's most holy sites, the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, surrounded by the Israeli army. Among those inside is American press photographer Carolyn Cole.
People were exhausted, some people were sick, people were hungry, and I guess the overriding feeling was, you know, when is it going to end?
Finally, on the 10th of May, negotiators reached a deal. The Palestinians who were most wanted by the Israelis would go into exile. The rest could leave.
I remember the last few hours, we weren't sleeping, and there were some men that were in charge of cataloging all of the weapons that were inside the church that were going to be turned over. I do remember when the men were saying goodbye to the leader of the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigade, who was going into exile in Cyprus, Ibrahim Abayat, and I had taken a portrait of him earlier in the week. I didn't really know his background. I had no idea why he was the most wanted man in the church. But there was a group of them who left the church first, and so all the other men were gathering around them. They made a line, and everyone was hugging as those men left.
It's 8 o'clock on Friday, the 10th of May. The news headlines this morning: the siege at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem is finally over. All the Palestinians are out. 13 are going to be flown into exile by the RAF.
Israeli army soldiers are now crowded around the door to the church, apparently preparing to enter. The nearly six-week-old siege ended as a long line of men left the compound. 13 of the most wanted Palestinians are already on their way out of Israel. Another 26 militants will go to the Palestinian-controlled Gaza Strip, where they'll be incarcerated. The rest of the men, 80 or so, will be released.
I was very happy because we have finished with this situation, because we couldn't go on no more. And I was a little bit sad, you know, for the people that they have to go outside the country and also to Gaza, you know, because we were sad for their families that they can't see them. But that was a mix of joy and a little bit of sadness, you know.
Father Amjad Sabara was a Franciscan friar and pastor of the Church of the Nativity. He lived in the compound and, like many of the other priests from different Christian orders, whose home it also was, made a decision to stay with the gunmen and civilians. The standoff had begun in early April, when Israeli tanks had entered Bethlehem as part of a series of raids across the West Bank. As the Israeli army moved into the town, local civilians and Palestinian militants fled into Manger Square. When troops opened fire there, many of them ran into the church to seek sanctuary.
There were a big number of people, you know, and we couldn't also get them outside.
Inside the church compound, which is built on the site of what Christians believe is the birthplace of Jesus Christ, there were now about 200 Palestinians, some of them civilians, some of them policemen, others militants, several heavily armed. While outside, in Manger Square, the Israeli army tightened its cordon.
Exchanges of fire coming from the direction of Manger Square and the Church of the Nativity. Earlier today, along with other reporters here, I tried to get to the area, but we were forced back by Israeli soldiers. The reports coming from the church and the square are confusing and contradictory. I spoke to one Palestinian who's inside the church.
Now the soldiers, the Israeli soldiers, surrounded us from each direction, and they bombed the church, bombed one door of the church and opened a hole in it.
But this account is disputed by the Israeli army. It says soldiers blew open the door of a house near the church, but that they've not touched the church itself.
The media was kept behind a barricade about a block and a half from the entrance to the church, so all of our work was done with long lenses and the whole city was in complete lockdown.
At the start of the siege, Carolyn Cole, who works for the Los Angeles Times, was outside with the other journalists.
Most of the time, everyone was just waiting. Occasionally, somebody would be brought out on a stretcher from inside the church. Occasionally, you'd see soldiers running past, but you couldn't really tell a whole lot about what was going on.
Inside the Church of the Nativity, Father Sabara was beginning to realize that this was not going to end soon.
You know, I was afraid because we weren't prepared for this moment, you know, to have all these people inside.
There was food in the compound. The priests kept a store. But as the siege ground on, food became more and more scarce. The generator for electricity also began to run down.
We used to live day by day. Many times we have to get up during the night because there was a shooting between the people that were inside and these Israeli soldiers.
The days turned to weeks. 8 people inside were killed by Israeli snipers. Some others were wounded. Many of the civilians and the younger people inside were allowed to leave. But for the 100 or so still there, the negotiations dragged on. Then one day, photographer Carolyn Cole had the kind of break that journalists can only dream of. It was late afternoon. She was standing at the barricade when she spotted a group of foreign protesters sneaking around the side of the church.
And so I ran after them, and they ended up running towards the church, the door of humility, and the door popped open unexpectedly. And of the 20 that were running towards the door, 10 of them made it inside, and I went in with them.
The protesters had coordinated by mobile phone with some of the Palestinians inside. The door closed behind them.
For me, being a witness to it was extraordinary that I was able to get in there and stay in there for the remainder of the time for those 9 days, because you're the only person that can record what's going on.
What was it like inside the church?
The inside of the sanctuary was pretty much empty. There were no pews, there were no chairs in the sanctuary, but there were sleeping bags along, blankets, and people sleeping along the outer walls of the sanctuary.
What were the conditions like?
There was very, very little food by the time I got in there. There would sometimes be a small cup of noodles or something in the afternoon. The protesters did bring some food in, but they were very limited in how much they brought in. I do remember that there were men that were sick from eating what had been available. The water supply had been cut off, so they were getting water from the wells. And then the priests would come in and have blessings. They would go down into the grotto and say prayers. Then they would pray over some of the injured men that were lying around in the sanctuary. But most of the time was just spent with the men pacing back and forth, waiting for news from the negotiations.
The end, when it finally came, was quick. Carolyn's main concern was how to get her photographs out safely. She thought she'd be taken in for questioning by the Israeli army once she walked out of the church, and she was right. But she did have the foresight to leave her memory cards with the priests and went back to get them later. And Father Sabara, as he said, it was a day of both happiness and sadness.
After 38 days with the same persons, yeah, living the same tensions and everything, so we have hugged each other, and we hope that that moment for each one of us will be a good solution, it will be a good future for each one of us, you know.
Louise Hidalgo spoke to Father Amjad Sabara and photographer Carolyn Cole for that edition of the Witness History Podcast.